Amen. You might say, Pastor Ed, why do you, how can you say that this is full of the Holy Spirit, this church? I want you to look around. There's a lot of empty chairs. Do you know who is sitting there? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So don't be discouraged when there's an empty chair, because the Holy Spirit occupies that. But we need to keep on praying. Amen. Well, this morning, today is Father's Day. Amen. But they said that Mother's Day is the most expensive gift are given. And it says the busiest telephone lines is on Mother's Day. And Father's Day, they always get a bad rap. I don't know. You agree with that? I don't agree with that. They say that 60 to 70% of the American children they grow up without a father. It's sad, huh? But I'm glad that this morning we have a speaker. I have known him since he was a little boy, when he was still and in his mother's womb. I've been known him for 35 years. 34 years? Uh-oh. I get a bad rap there. Amen? Are you not glad? Huh? We have our own speaker. That's how blessed is the city of God. Amen? And I would like to call Sister Rose to welcome him. Sister Rose, you wanna welcome the speaker this morning?
I have known the speaker for 34 years also, and I've known him since he was in my womb. And I prayed for him, dedicated him, even when he was in my womb. And if there was any legacy that I would leave to our son, is the love for God. And he's a miracle child, because his testimony. And here, this one is he's a miracle child too. I've always wanted to have grandchildren, and I never thought I would have grandchildren. And thank God for a grandson, and thank God for a gift. And Irvin is a gift. You know how they said children are heritage from the Lord and they're a gift from God. So help me welcome. And this is his first speaking engagement. So let us welcome Irvin, Ian, La Serna Tatay We Fuentes.
Well, I'll talk about introduction. All right. Well, first thing I want to say is this morning is, you know, happy Father's Day to, you know, all the fathers here today. Amen. So, we got laughter. Amen. So, what the thing that I want to share this morning is just a parable that I think that Jesus was he wanted to share to the people in that are in need. So, in the book of Luke, in Luke 15. Luke gives a series of three parables, or actually Jesus gives a series of three parables in response to the criticism of the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus received unbelieving people and even ate with them. His love toward them and opening himself to them attracted lost people from all classes and lifestyles. He was bringing them to a meaningful relationship with God, and these were people who had no regard for religious traditions. Jesus had made it clear that he came to save people like this, not self-righteous people. Seeing that many needy people around him who were lost, and recognizing the criticism coming from the religious group who are also lost, Jesus told three parables of lostness. He talked about the lost sheep who needed a shepherd, about a lost coin that has value and needed to be put back into circulation, and about the two lost sons who needed to encounter a compassionate love from their father. So I want to encourage you, today that, our focus is on the third of these stories, the lost sons who encountered the most compassionate father you will ever read in the Bible. So don't disregard the other two parables there. I want to encourage you to read even Luke 15, 1 through 10. So if you can, if you have your Bibles with you, can you open to the book of Luke, of course, chapter 15, and we'll start on verse 11. And when you're there, say amen. Oh, you're quick. Amen. So we'll start on verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to them, your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate. And be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Let's pray. Dear my Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a day that we can just remember our fathers, Lord, our earthly fathers, and you as our heavenly Father, Lord. We pray this this morning, Lord, that your parable, Lord, in the book of Luke will just seep in our hearts, Lord, and that your spirit will just speak truth, Lord, through it, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we'll just understand your compassion and also understand your love, your unconditional love, and I pray that we can just be encouraged with this word, Lord. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, of course, I'm sure most of you have heard the parable of the prodigal son. So my title of the message is A Compassionate Father. So in this parable, when I was studying this, I got four characteristics of a father. So the first one that I got out of here was a compassion for the lost son. So in verse 20 of chapter 15, he says, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him." Imagine our Heavenly Father filled with compassion and joy when we come to realize a wrong we committed and we need and we see the need to come back to God. He doesn't just receive us as he is just God. He receives us as a father embracing his own children in his arms and expresses his love toward us. You know, and just the same thing with the parable of Jesus. In here, the father was just embracing his lost son. So here I am reminded when Elijah was born, the first few minutes. I don't know if my mom told the story, but when he was born, you expect him to cry. But when Elijah was born, he didn't cry immediately. My mom and myself, we felt uneasy. We felt like, okay, just this feeling of anxiety, feeling this worry, what's going on. We could just tell even from the doctors. So when I read this parable, what comes to mind is when, the son, he took his inheritance and, he just left his father. Even though his father wasn't dead, he was already asking for the inheritance, he deserved that part of his share. And, the fact that he just wandered off, it just reminded me of that feeling when the son got squandered off in the far country, it's like, you're losing a son. It's like this is the possibility that, maybe Elijah's might be lost because he wasn't crying. So when Elijah actually started to cry, suddenly from that overwhelmingness, that anxiety that you have, when he cries, it's just, you just feel that joy and compassion that, the first cry after birth, you just, that he's alive, And, for me, I can embrace him and feel that joy and that compassion a father has for a son. And how much more, for our Heavenly Father. How much, for those that, haven't felt that compassion, we still have a Heavenly Father that can give that compassion to you. Amen? So I don't know if you've seen this this cartoon, it's Snoopy, or it's also known as Peanuts. Here is basically an illustration of Snoopy. He's sitting outside. You could tell he's kind of like shivering, shaking, and it's the middle of a snowstorm. And then Linus and Charlie Brown at the back, he's like, "Oh, Snoopy's cold," and they all covered up and everything. So they feel like, "Oh, you know what? We should go there and comfort him and." And to try to cheer him up, if you see in the bottom there. But right after that, they just leave. And Snoopy, you could he's still shivering. So it doesn't change the situation. And sometimes with that kind of, this kind of illustration, we have got an idea that evangelism is not only about teaching and preaching. But Jesus shows us that evangelism is more than just that. By healing people, Jesus reached out and demonstrated his compassion by actual works. He had actions that backed his works. And then number two, the father accepted the lost son. In Luke 15, verse 21 and 22 and 24, he says, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" But see, look what in verse 22. So even though the son said, here he was like apologizing, whatnot, the father just told his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, the ring in his hand, so that he got the best clothes, jewelry, clothe him, without hesitation. And then he pointed out in verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." They begin to celebrate. Sometimes we feel that we have to prepare ourselves with a good explanation when we come before God for our sins, our wrongdoings, or maybe that's just me specific. But God knows the change in our hearts. the sincerity, our motives of our hearts before we know it ourselves. When we do come before God, the specific purpose and calling, our answered prayers or the blessings that you or I have been praying for sometimes come pouring in at the right and perfect time. So, for example, like for me, I did not understand this type of father acceptance until I became older. You know, adolescence, in college, you know, we go through that stage, you know, we think we know better than our parents, you know. So my dad accepted me every time I made a mistake throughout my school years in high school and college life. I was not an angel, given that. I came home late, did not call in, and I let him know and let him know where I was at. In other moments, I know I fell short with my choices, but my dad still accepted me as his son. For example, my dad lectured me about coming home late, and I still come home late. He left a basket of my laundry out on the front door when I drove up to the driveway of the house. You can't imagine how horrible that feeling is. When you stand right in front of the door with the basket of laundry, like, what are you going to do? You know, so as I picked up that basket of laundry and then, you know, carried over to my car, not knowing what to do next, you know, my dad, of course, he's probably watching in the window, and he opened the door and let me in. So since then, I never came home late. So I'm only like three and a half months into fatherhood, and I know I will have many opportunities in the future to know this type of acceptance I will need toward Elijah as he becomes older. So as for me, these past 3.5 months of fatherhood, I've accepted life comes with changes in this choices of where I want to spend my life and quality time with Elijah as a father and also quality time with me as a husband. I have to consider Elijah and me as a family, and all the choices I make. You know, it's not just me, just spur of the moment, oh, I just go out. You know, I have to consider, I have a family to take care of, or, you know, just, if I don't spend it with them, you know, it's like lost time investment. You know, so to me, this is much more important investing my time with, it's much more important investing my time with them than other things in life aside from God. So number three, I got from this parable, is the father had a relationship with both of the sons. In Luke 15:31-32, he said to them, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." You know, the older son, in this case, he served his father and never disobeyed his command. However, the older son didn't see immediately, you know, if you go back to verse 28 to 30, you know, that it was said all about, like, this is all about, it all came down to a relationship and the grace between the son and the father. And it was not just about works, but the grace of the father he had toward the lost younger son. The father was even showing the grace to the older son in these two verses. You know, he says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." You know, a relationship involvement in a child's life is vital for a father to give to his son or daughter. For example, for me, I've always been career focused. I've always been, you know, work-minded since college. So when Elijah was born, you know, I had to reevaluate my priorities, values in life. So the parable of the prodigal son reminds me to have a focus on being involved and having a relationship with my son and my wife. So for example, I come home from work and I heard Elijah in his co-sleeper, you know, and I know, like, all day, you know, my wife has been taking care of him. So as a father, I know I just don't just sit there. You know, I need to check and change him if he needs the diaper change, because, you know, right after, he's a happy camper, he's a happy son, and he's dry and whatnot. So even also spiritually, you know, I don't want my son and my wife to stray from Christ. So I know one purpose is to lead my family to walk with Christ every day of our lives. So we read Bible stories or Bible devotions before we even go to bed. So my dad mentioned a statistic about, you know, about our country. And one thing he mentioned was in line was, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 24 million children in America, or 1 out of 3, live in a biological father absent home. However, let's see. So on the second one, it says father involvement is related to positive cognitive developmental and social behavioral child outcomes, such as improved weight gain in preterm infants, improved feeding, and receptive language skills and higher academic achievement. And again, it's something in line with a different study. It said that children who have fathers that are stable and are involved are better off on almost every, you know, cognitive, social, and emotional measures based on the research. So for example, high levels of father involvement are correlated with the social confidence, higher levels of self-control of their children. Wherever children with involved fathers are less likely to act out in school or engage in risky behavior in adolescence. And last, it says father's involvement in schools is associated with the higher likelihood of a student getting mostly A's. This was true for fathers in biological parent families, for stepfathers, and for fathers heading single parent families. So what father doesn't want their kids to have A's? Right? And the fourth characteristic of the father is that the father encouraged the older son. In the same verse, Luke 31 and 32, he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive, he was lost and is found." So the father was not only pointing out the grace he was showing to the younger son, but he was encouraging this older son to show grace toward his younger brother, saying it was fitting to celebrate to be glad for his younger brother. You know, so it's kind of like a teachable moment for the father to, and not just teachable, but to encourage him based on his own action he did toward this younger son. So a few weeks ago, my dad spoke on, I believe, Galatians 1, 11 to 24. And Paul was encouraging the church of Galatia, the change of heart he himself had gone through from persecuting the church, the church of God, to being called to preach the faith he once tried to destroy. So he was actually sharing his own personal testimony. So how much more with us, with our Heavenly Father? We should be as well be encouraged and full of joy when you are given another chance by our Heavenly Father, because he gives us grace. So given today is, you know, game 7 of the NBA Finals, I just want to share two actually encouraging quotes from, one is Willis Reed. He was actually a New York Knicks player in the 60s and 70s. He said, "A word of encouragement during a failure is worth more than our praise after success." You know, and then another, he was a Jim Valvano. He's a NCAA player in the 60s, and he was a head coach from 60s to the 90s. He said, "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me." You know, so, you know, our being for the fathers here, and you know, just in general, you know, we should be that father that lives with our actions and encourage and believe in our kids. Amen. And I just want to share one last thing is this story. It's called Corey Wiseman Basket. In February 2012, Corey Wiseman led out the men's basketball team of Gettysburg College for the last game of the season. 4 years earlier, he had suffered a stroke that left him paralyzed on one side. 4 years of rehab, he was able to walk with a limp, but was still not able to play competitively. But before his stroke, he had been on the varsity team, and the Gettysburg coach wanted to give him a few seconds on court as a senior. So Corey was nominated captain and led out the starting five for what was both his first and last game for Gettysburg, for he was now due to graduate. Knowing the struggle it was just to be there, the crowd and the players from both teams greeted him with wild applause. The Gettysburg coach gave him a few minutes on court before benching him. With 1 minute to go, Gettysburg was well ahead, and the coach sent Corey back out on court. The Washington coach called timeout and instructed his players to foul Corey Wiseman. For those who don't know basketball, this was a very generous act, for it meant Corey would be given two shots at the basket. Corey takes his place at the free throw line, feels the weight of the ball in his hands, and lifts and shoots. He misses badly, but he has a second and final shot left. And again, he feels the weight of the ball in his hands, lifts and shoots. This time, the ball flies straight through the hoop, and the crowd breaks in thunderous applause. The assistant vice president of for athletics at Gettysburg, David Wright, later wrote to Washington College, "Your coach, Rob Nugent, along with his staff and student athletes, displayed a measure of compassion that I have never witnessed in over 30 years' involvement in intercollegiate athletics." So just the, I mean, the main points this morning, I just want to just basically outline are just these four. Compassion for the lost son, acceptance for the lost son, the relationship with both of the sons, and the encourage the lost older son. So basically it comes down to care. You know, you want to show that care toward your kids, right? So, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.